Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and now we have over a quarter million listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from the United Kingdom. Then from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I'll be channeling and giving messages from the Pleiadians. Last week, I received a message that they are coming to assist and help us in the ascension of the planet. And they arrived here, I'm told, on Sunday. It took them a day to adjust to the new dimension and energy of this part of the galaxy. And they are here now. I'll be channeling messages from them during the show. So please stay tuned. The program should be really out of this world. Then from 3:30 to 4, I'll be interviewing another wonderful fellow named Eric Raines. Eric is a fantastic spiritual healer. He can really help people. And he specializes in removing negative alien implants, among other things. His interview should be also really out of this world. Before we start, I want to thank everyone's support for this program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support because I know together we can and will create a much better and happy world. And with that, I'd like to really thank my friends Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their generous support, as well as Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better and happier place. I'd also like to say that we're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers for the show. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, as well as the Pleiadians, who've been supporting my show, and KKNW, without whose help and support this show would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference, my fifth annual conference, will be held at the same location, Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th. We'll have some amazing people, including Aaron Elizabeth of Health Nut News. And if you register before the end of this month, the cost for the three-day conference will only be $55. After January 1st, the cost will be $125. If you'd like to register, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also wanted to tell you about some wonderful spiritual events I have planned. After the conference in April, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with the Hopi elders in Arizona from April 20th to April 28th. We'll meet in Sedona, then travel north to the Hopi. The cost is $400 per person, but all the monies from this trip will go half to the Hopi and half to the nonprofit children's charity, the Moto Peace Project. If you're interested in coming, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll also be returning to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 2nd to the July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur from the Talosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth and Dhamma. The last time we were there, we were able to telepathically contact a UFO, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the vision in both of my eyes, restoring them to perfect 20/10, very crystal clear eyesight. The cost is $200 per person, includes free camping. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. With that, I'd like to welcome my good friend Simon Parks, coming to us live today from England. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm fine, thank you. Nice to be back on the show. It seems that I've been away for ages.
I know it. It's we did a pre-record here about 3 weeks ago, and then November was an extra long month. But I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a 5-week month. I remember now. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to tell you, Simon, as soon as I started talking to you now, we had this beautiful, there's this beautiful light in the studio. We had sunshine coming in before, but there seems to be a lot more of it right now coming in.
And well, that's good.
So thanks for bringing lots of light on the show. Mm. That's wonderful. Well, there's so many things to talk about. My goodness. I've got lots of emails who've come in from people around the world. Plus, there's lots of issues on your website, the sealed indictments, the contempt of Parliament in the UK. That's unheard of, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of like...
it is unheard of.
It's strange.
Absolutely.
I saw your post on Facebook, and I did a double take. I had to squint my eyes, and I said, is this really what I'm reading? Normally, things are more like they flow a little bit better in the House of Commons there. I mean, you know, usually have a contempt of Parliament. Do they? I mean, how often has this happened?
I just don't think it has happened. It's difficult enough for British people to get their head around. And goodness knows, mm-hmm. for people in other countries, it's hard to understand. And I not going to... you know, go into the huge detail. But what I will say is that what Parliament did, that's, you know, for people who perhaps not fully familiar with it, that's the lawmaking chamber in Britain. Mm-hmm. We have two chambers, just as, you know, the US does. Mm-hmm. We have a lower chamber and a higher chamber. And the lower chamber is equal to your House of Representatives, and our higher chamber, which we call the Lords, is equal to the US Senate. But it is basically the lower chamber that is the one with the more power in Britain. And what happened was that there was a vote passed in Parliament requiring the British Prime Minister to disclose all of the legal advice that her and her government had received from our Attorney General. You have an Attorney General as well. In fact, you've got a new one.
Right.
But the British Attorney General had done a report to the government. But what the government decided was they would just, you know, give the executive summary. So Parliament said, no, thank you. We want all of it. And basically the British government refused. So then Parliament then passed an act holding the government in contempt, which now means the government had to publish it within 2 days, which it did. And that is the state of play. So it is unheard of. It's very interesting that in America, the President of the United States has more wriggle room in relation to how he moves around the houses and how he can get out of it. But in Great Britain, the British Parliament is absolutely the sovereign body. And when it does flex its muscles, there's not much the Prime Minister can do.
Interesting. Well, I was doing some background reading on what happened with this contempt of Parliament, and there's going to be, let's see here, there's a vote coming on March 29th, 2019, when Britain officially leaves the EU, and it said that options are running out. Is there a question whether the UK will leave the EU now, or is it still going to go on? I guess that's the main issue, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a much more important vote than that, and that's very close. That's the 11th of December. The 11th of December, and if anyone's staying up late, this will be broadcast around the world live in the chamber. This is the vote that the Prime Minister needs to win in order to secure the deal that she's fought, and it looks like it won't pass. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't pass, there's a whole load of possibilities. One possibility is that the Prime Minister will resign there and then. The other possibility is that the opposition will call a motion of no confidence and try and force a general election. The other possibility is that the Prime Minister will try and renegotiate with Europe, or the other possibility is that we crash out of Europe with no deal whatsoever. So this is a really important vote. It's much more important than the one next year. So December the 11th, make or break for this government. The vote in this country was quite clear that people wanted to leave Europe. That hasn't changed. The question is, of course, that Europe is doing, the European government is doing everything it can to make life very difficult for Great Britain, because they are trying to keep the lid on a very boiling pan. You see, Italy would like to leave the European Union, and if your listeners have had a chance to look around the news, you'll see that they're almost in open rebellion in France at the moment. There's a massive uprising against the French prime minister, or president, I should say, the French president. Right. So Europe wants to try to send a message that it's very difficult to leave the European Union. So that's why they're being so difficult about it. But Britain will leave. Britain will go.
Sure. Well, that was my next question, because our news here in the United States, of course, is heavily redacted, filtered. It's hard to get much of anything besides the weather and traffic conditions here sometimes. Other than what's on the cartoon channel, but just a joke. But that's my next question, is about Paris, and because you're a lot closer to it there, you're just across the channel, of course, from Paris in France. From what I've been able to learn from this side of the pond, from our internet here, is that it started with attacks in the middle of November, but then it spread everywhere throughout France. And Macron, the French prime minister, has only been in office maybe a year and a half, if that. And do you think this could lead to his resignation or a new government in France?
Right. Macron is a president. He's a president of France. Mm-hmm. The point here is that he was a merchant banker or a venture capitalist. But mm-hmm. before he became president, he was very heavily involved in the banking industry, and he was absolutely pushed into that position by the elite. Mm-hmm. So when you get somebody who comes from the super elite into a position as a prime minister or a president or something like that, mm-hmm. what they start to do is hike the taxes up, because they have no connection with ordinary people. They don't go to the same restaurants. They don't go to the same bars. They don't use the same hospitals. So it's of no consequence to them. And what Macron's done is he's absolutely hammered the French people. He's raised gas prices by a quarter in about a year. Mm-hmm. He's really made it difficult. So what's happened is that what started as a demonstration against particularly gas prices has now turned into a running battle between the French government, Macron, and the people. Will he resign? No, I don't think he will, because the bankers want to keep him in there. Right. And Europe is so destabilized at the moment that they would basically force him to stay in position. His popularity rating is now down to about 23%.
Oh my God.
So if there was an election tomorrow, he and his party would be wiped out of office.
Wow.
So expect to see more violence, more demonstrations.
I have to tell you, Simon, and I'd love your comment on this. What's called the Schumann resonance is the frequency of planet Earth. That recently went to 427 on October 22nd, about a month and a half ago. And the vibration of love for planet Earth is 528. And as you get higher and higher vibrations here on the planet, negative people, negative governments, negative institutions can't handle the higher vibrations, and so they're exiting. That leads me next to Bush Senior exiting, I think the elite and Macron, if he's allied with the elite in France, they're going to have a very hard time holding on to power, because people are not only waking up, but everyone's vibrations are getting higher and higher, and the planet, I think, is in a transition from negativity and service to self to positivity and service to others. If Macron truly is connected with the French people and wants to serve and help them, that's one thing, and he'll stay in power. If he's not, if he's self-service, negative, and serving just a few vested negative interests, he won't stay in power. That's basically the rule, because what's happening is that the vibrations of this planet are going higher and higher, and by this time next year, they should be even higher than they are now. The vibration of love, for example, is 528 hertz, and we're close to that right now, and we're now in the 400 hertz range for the Schumann resonance, and it's just a matter of months, I think, before we go over the threshold, so we will have a planet basking in love vibration, which is be wonderful.
Yes, except that what's happening is that the stark contrast between the vision that we have and these rather negative people is so great that it's forcing violence. Mm. In other words, people are becoming so frustrated and so disempowered through normal, controlled, what we would call democratic means, that they're saying, well, you know, if I give you a million signature petition, it won't make any difference anyway, so I might as well go and smash a few police cars up.
Oh,
and
I see.
That's actually what's happening, because in certain countries, the supposed democratic process is just a loop. It's just a very clever wheel that goes round and round.
Sure.
And when citizenry begin to understand that, they then seek other means to express themselves. And that's what's happening in France. Now, what you talked about Bush Senior.
Right.
And I hope that many of your listeners saw the clip of President Trump and the First Lady saluting the casket. And you really got the image there of a president who was just doing his duty. Because remember, they're both the Republican Party, so of course he had to salute the casket. But what I'm being told, and you've already talked about the indictments, is that now that Bush Senior has been laid to rest, it is a trigger moment for activity to start. And what I can just tell you is that as we go into the Christmas period, a special military police battalion, American United States military MPs, are being moved to Guantanamo Bay. So if we are to see indictments being opened, then we can imagine that anyone thus charged will be going to Guantanamo Bay, and they will not be guarded by cops. They'll be guarded by military personnel. And that's what we've always said, that this was always going to go down the route of a quasi-military hearing. So it's just very interesting that a military police battalion is rotated in now for Christmas to be in Guantanamo Bay. And I am hearing that we might expect to start seeing some of these indictments opened very soon. In fact, I've just been given a up-to-date list. I haven't even had a chance to put it on the website. I'll do that over the weekend. But there's an up-to-date list, which people might find quite interesting, and also QAnon, which is the if I say mouthpiece, I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's a mouthpiece for the military, if anybody hasn't yet understood that. It is the military's way of speaking. They're also now carrying these indictment lists as well. So I'm going to compare their list with my list. In fact, I'll probably just publish both of our lists. But QAnon now is actually beginning to push this. So I think we might see some movement in the next few weeks.
Wonderful. That's good news. That's wonderful news, Simon. Thank you so much for sharing that. I wanted to give you this quote, by the way. This is George Senior Bush in an interview with a reporter named Sarah McLennan in 1992. Quote, he said back then, if the American people had ever known the truth about what we Bushes have done to this nation, we would be chased down the streets and lynched. That was an actual quote.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, that some people like Mr. Bush felt so beyond the reach of the law.
Right.
They felt so damn powerful that they could actually just say that, and he did get away with it. He absolutely did. So he was right in the sense that nobody could touch him.
Right.
And, you know, if we go back to Standard Oil and the Bushes further back, of course, they actually sold. This is one of the points he didn't say, but, you know, I'll say it for him, that during the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, 1941, the Bushes were still selling oil to Germany during the first 6 months when Germany and America were at war.
1942.
So that's the point. Then the Bushes were selling oil to their enemy.
Right.
And no wonder Bush is saying, well, if the people knew the truth, they'd chase me down the street.
Right, right. Amazing.
But yeah, that's one of the reasons. There'd probably be other things as well, but that's the one I would just pull out, because that's documented, you know, that's documented.
That's amazing. Well, you talk about, you know, the riots in France. We don't get a lot of information over here about that. We don't get a lot of information about very much here. But just a quick little blurb on the news, and that's it, with no details as to why people are rioting in France. But do you think when people find out, for example, the California fires, how they were not natural fires, that they were actually a lot of the fires were caused by particle beam weapons, that might cause unrest in California like we've seen in France?
I don't think they're going to find that out officially anytime soon.
Okay.
I certainly believe that the truth will come out, and it won't come out voluntarily for the very reason you've just given.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also not convinced at the death toll we've been given. I'm not convinced the numbers they're giving are accurate. I think rather a lot more people sadly, tragically lost their lives than the very few that they've reported. The truth will come out. Absolutely it will, but not yet, because the last thing these people want is that out, because it's provable, and there will be named people. If you go back to 9/11, if you go back to the days of the Twin Towers,
sure,
there's a lot of those people who were involved then who are not there anymore.
Right.
So what they tend to do is they tend to tell you the truth 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, when there's not a single person left,
right,
to face the charges.
Right. Well,
but as you said, with the Schumann resonance going up,
right,
that option isn't open anymore, because mm-hmm. people are finding the truth out much quicker than they used to.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Actually, last weekend I was contacted by many spirits from the Paradise and Malibu, California fires, and they wanted to be remembered, and prayers said for them. So I did a series of prayers on my show a week ago, Simon, for them, and they really appreciated it, because they were telling me that the death toll is somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 people out of Paradise, and most of those people were not killed by the fires so much as particle beam weapons. Because if you look at the pictures and the videos of what happened in Paradise, California, you see all these lanes of cars where there's no fire around them, but yet the cars have melted inside, and the only thing left are like skeletons or ashes of what people once were there. You go into the residential areas, the suburban areas there, the housing development, Simon, and the trees are there, the flowers are there, the grass is all there, but the homes have been systematically destroyed, one after the other, gone, and they've actually photographed particle beam weapons coming down from the sky and hitting these homes. I wanted to share that with you. I don't know if you've seen that on the news.
I am aware that some of these fires seem to have started in such a way as it would cut off an escape route,
right,
for many people. I mean, what I did do, because I'm not in the location, I can't go and physically give help, which I would have done. So I have actually, you know, some of the money that people very kindly donate to me, mm-hmm. I've actually donated. There are a couple of websites there, you know, collecting money for people who've lost their homes,
mm-hmm.
Lost their loved ones. And I've some of the money that has been very kindly donated to me, I then forwarded on and donated to some of these people, because it is an absolute travesty and a tragedy that people have lost their lives for no good reason, absolutely no good reason at all.
Right.
And it's always California that gets hit. If it's not a drought,
right,
then it's something else. And so, right, you know, I really wish that the vast majority of people would begin to understand that there is an ongoing war. I use the word loosely, but a war being waged against the state of California.
Right.
It's not President Trump. President Trump's not involved in it, but there are some pretty high up people who are involved in it. No
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that came out last week about the California fires is that all of the fires follow the exact route of a proposed new rail system for California that's being pushed by Howard Bloom, who is U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband, who apparently wants to pick up this land cheap for his rail line. Now he'll probably be able to do it, because no one's living. It's all burned out, and he can pick it up probably for a dollar an acre.
Well, just to give people a understanding that it wouldn't be the first time, if we go right back in your history, that's America's history, mm-hmm. to when the telegraph was really rolled out across the country. And for those people who don't know what a telegraph is, because they may be very young, right. It's a wooden pole. It was a wooden pole in the 1880s, 1890s, wooden pole that had two copper wires run to it, and it would go from one location to the next. Mm-hmm. And then a chap could sit there and tap out a message on Morse code, right. And it'd be read the other side. And this was a fantastic boon for law enforcement, because one sheriff could alert a posse in another town, etc., etc. Well, yeah. The guys who were working this suddenly realized that you didn't need two copper wires. All you needed was one copper wire. It didn't matter whether it was 100 miles or 1,000 miles. Yeah. So what you did was you just ran one copper wire, and then from the base station, you placed a second wire into the earth, yeah. And at the receiving station, you've got your one wire connecting A to Z, but you just put another copper wire into the earth. And what they realized was that a lot of communication is covered through the earth's surface. Mm. Now, a very, very wealthy gentleman who owned all the copper mines put a stop to that, because had all of technology gone down the road of telegraph pole with one copper wire, that would have been a 50% reduction to Mr. Morgan Chase, Stanley Chase. That was the... he owned all the copper mines, all the major copper mines, and he manipulated it so that the world thought that you needed two wires to send a message. So when you tell me stories about, you know, railroad lines or this, that, and the other, it's happened before.
Sure.
It's happened in your own country. It's not new. Oh, yeah. Shocking as it is, it's yeah. not new.
Sure, right, right. I just hope the truth comes out about what or who was behind these fires, because they're not natural. And so many people have died. Even the in Paradise, California, there was many people killed when their cars were melted, apparently melted on the highways themselves as they were driving away from Paradise, far away from the fires. And it doesn't match up from what they're saying, what happened. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You also had another piece on your website, Simon, about the German bank headquarters being raided on November 29th.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. I guess it's just a tip of the iceberg. I would you say this is the tip of the iceberg with some of the corruption that goes on with banks?
Yes. The question is, of course, why did it become public? You know, not, oh, it's going on, because that's what happens on this planet. It's very sure. common. What's not common is it breaking into the news. So what happened to allow it to break into the news? It's rather like somebody who's very powerful suddenly falls from grace, whether they're a Hollywood star or a politician or a banker, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If they fall from grace, mm-hmm. it's because they've upset the person higher than them.
Okay.
So they're being thrown to the dogs. So what happened was that Deutsche Bank, as is accused of money laundering, and clearly hadn't been working with whoever it was closely enough. Mm-hmm. And so the authorities, the authorities being the regular system that don't understand any of this, they just got tipped off. And so something like 160 police and specialists descended on HQ, this Deutsche Bank's HQ. Now, that's a phenomenal number.
Wow.
Clearly they were wanting to go through all the books, whether that's a computer or paperwork. There's a staggering amount of money. We're talking a huge amount of money, but it is linked to things that have gone on in places like Holland or the Netherlands, these what we call the Low Countries. There's also been a staggering amount of stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't expect Deutsche Bank to fall or be closed by the system, because if Deutsche Bank was to close, all of Europe would collapse.
Right.
So, you know, they'll keep it going. But the interesting thing is that somebody decided to go public with it, and that in itself is unique.
Wow, amazing, amazing. Well, then you had another piece on your website, Simon, about the Chinese fellow who studied 15 years, self-taught. He learned law, and then he sued the company that was polluting his home, and he wins the case in China.
And he won the case, yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, and the thing was that 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 particular language wasn't his own language. So he had to learn that language. Now that's, you know, to be so committed, so driven, so believing that you see an injustice and you say, I won't do what everyone else does, which is shrug my shoulders and go and buy a donut. Right. What I'm going to do is fight them. But I'll fight them not by throwing a petrol bomb. I'll fight them in their own way. Wow. Now, maybe because it's not America or not Britain, maybe he could do it there, because I doubt you could do it in Britain or America. Someone would stop you. You know, there would be some law that would pull out, or some sharp lawyer or the judge would be, you know, got at, and it wouldn't go anywhere. But maybe in these other countries, it works differently. He really did win the case.
Wow.
And that is a real shining example. And you won't find that, you know, in the New York Times. No. You won't find that in the British newspapers, because the last thing they want is ordinary citizens empowered to take on the system. They won't want that. So, you know, it's the likes of you, Ted, and me and others who've got to get this information out there to say it's not hopeless. You know, we can do this. But we just need to be aware that we are fighting uphill.
I wanted to share a quick story with you, Simon, for your comment. I was at Mount Shasta last September, a couple of months ago, and I was meditating at a place called Ascension Rock, which is a main portal to the Hollow Earth. And a Dhamma came and gave me a message. And I asked about China, and he said that the Chinese Communist Party, as it's constituted today, would no longer exist within, at the time, he said, between 1 to 3 years, depending on people's choices. And so he said that there were lots of things happening in China now to make it a truly democratic society and a country where freedoms are respected. They're not respected now, but they're making a lot of good progress, he said. And I said, well, there's nothing on the news. He said, of course not. You're not going to hear about it, but I just heard about it from your example, something good that happened there. That was wonderful.
I think what's happening is that China is not just a key place because it manufactures a huge amount of products to sell, but because the energy there and the amount of gold it holds is quite crucial. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the focal points for an argument as to how do we want the world to be? Do we want it to be a fairer place? Or do we think that the way we've been the last 10,000 years is perfectly fine? And there is a silent revolution taking place in China because, you know, we don't think of Chinese as mafia, but it's the equivalent of that. They have their own mafia. You know, I don't know how many of your listeners are aware of it, but in the United States of America in the 1960s, and the first part of the 70s, you really couldn't do any business in many states in America unless you had the connection with the mafia. It wasn't, you know, the mafia was the days of Elliot Ness, the Untouchables. You know, people seem to think that that was all stamped out and that's where it ended. It didn't. It was absolutely prevalent right up to the elections, you know, because if you possibly remember, President Kennedy was accepted as the Democratic nominee. Right. But the battles that were going on the sidelines through what we today would refer to the mafia is incredible. So just because a person looks Oriental, just because they don't speak English and they have a different culture, doesn't mean they don't have these mafia things going on. So China is going through a very interesting phase in its life.
Well, one prediction made by my great spirit friends on the other side several years ago was that eventually, one day, China would become a true democracy, and I'm looking forward to that day. It's one quarter of humanity on this planet, and the people there have a right to be free, and they have a right to be happy, and I wish them well. I hope they make the right decisions so that their country can spiritually evolve and become a true democracy where people live in peace and freedom.
Yes. Hear, hear. Yeah. Ted, question time, eh?
Question time. Yeah, question time. Well, we've already covered a lot of the questions. A lot of the questions had to do with the California fires. When would people wake up? Whether they were caused by particle beam weapons? We had questions. A lot of them already covered. We had questions regarding Bush Senior. Here's one. What's happened to Bush? Will he come back to this planet? I think I know the answer to that one, but you go
ahead.
Well,
the answer is he wouldn't choose to, because the world that he would come into would not accept him now. Mm. He was a man of his time. Mm-hmm. He was able to do what he did because the awareness of the citizenry was very low. Somebody like that was to try and pull the tricks that were pulled then, you wouldn't get away with it. So my answer is he would not choose to come back, but he may be forced or compelled to come back. If those around him have been able to access the technology to literally send his soul to another dimension, mm-hmm. they will have done so. Mm-hmm. If they haven't, then it is on the cards that at some point he will be forced to come back, and he would incarnate in a very different world than the one that he left.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow, interesting. I have a question from Ulrich in Germany. He's a frequent writer. And Ulrich, thank you so much for your questions. He always sends these interesting emails to me to run by you. He quoted Trump. He said that Trump's said, "I'm glad my friend Macron in France and the demonstrators have come to the same conclusion as me." They're upset with Macron, with something has to change. And he asked, and I'll just summarize his question of if Macron's going to survive this.
Well, I think what Trump's saying is that what Macron backed down. He was going to bring in a new, yet another gas tax in January 2019. Mm. And Macron realized that, you know, half of Paris was burning. And so he put a 6-month hold on it. And of course, that's just a joke. And therefore, the demonstrators aren't taking it any seriously. But I think what Trump's saying is that a president or a prime minister or a representative of the people must take notice of what the people say and must move with the people, because if you don't move with the people, then, you know, you will be washed away. So I think what he's saying is, you know, that now those of people who know Trump know that if Mr. Trump, President Trump, calls you a friend, you've got to watch out. So if Trump is referring to Macron as my friend, right, then I don't think that's very good news for Macron at all. President Trump is the absolute past master, as we say in Great Britain, of saying one thing and meaning something else, mm-hmm. of taking you right to the edge of the cliff on Monday and then pulling it right back on Tuesday. And, you know, this is because he's been trained by the military to do this. Let's make no doubt. He's operating a form of communication with the public, excuse me, that completely circumvents the regular media. So if he says, "my very good friend," he doesn't mean my very good friend.
in an ironic twist. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Well, thanks so much for explaining that. I have a question from Anne in Los Angeles. How do you protect? Please ask Simon. How do you protect yourself against negative entities and negative attacks?
It first of all depends on who you are, the soul in your body. Mm-hmm. Depending on the frequency of your soul, that has a huge impact as to who is connecting with you and why that is. Then it's to do with the type of entities that are coming to you. They are going to be predominantly from the fourth dimension or the interdimensional space between the third and the fourth. Mm-hmm. And depending on that entity, I cannot answer it, because there are literally dozens of different entities and dozens of different ways of dealing with them. It is much easier to banish or block a demonic force than it is a more physical entity from another dimension, in terms of a non-demonic entity. So when I have my clients, then before I can even answer that question, I have to find out who they are, what the soul is in their body, what their history on this planet is and off this planet, and then to understand exactly what is afflicting them before I can give them a solution. So I'm not deliberately trying to hide from the question. I cannot answer it. If the questioner had said, this is who I am and this is what is affecting me, I could give you an answer.
I see. Okay. Well, Anne, if you're there, just send another email, and if there's time, I'll ask Simon a follow-up question here on the air. This is really interesting. This was actually from another show that I had, and he actually had a question. He said that JFK Jr. didn't die. He was taken from his plane, and he's QAnon, advising President Trump, and I didn't know what to say about that, so I wanted to ask you.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
QAnon is a group of, originally was a group of four fairly well-placed individuals. That number's increased. Mm-hmm. And a very, very clever artificial intelligence, but not a networked AI mm-hmm. machine. So it can't go rogue, mm-hmm. But a very clever machine that can actually predict the future a short period ahead. And this, you see, you can't have the president tweeting out things that are going to happen tomorrow because it's just not going to work. So you need an independent organization to have an independent voice to put the military's viewpoint across. So I have no knowledge of that. What I do know is that QAnon is an organization that is fiercely defendable, defensive of the Constitution, has a strong military backing, and 90-odd percent of the stuff it's coming out with is accurate as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I think that answered his question pretty well. I get these questions in too. This came in a couple days ago. What do you see for the next 3 to 6 months worldwide?
It's going to go literally one or two ways. We're either going to be free, literally in 6 months' time, we're either going to be free mm-hmm. In a way that very few people could begin to comprehend or grasp, mm-hmm. or we're going to be in the middle of a walk through molasses treacle. We're either going to have broken through the barrier in 6 months' time and be remarkably different from we are today, mm-hmm. or we are going to be embroiled in an ongoing situation far hotter than that we have at the moment.
Well, certainly with the Parliament in contempt in the UK and riots in France, I don't know if we'd ever get to that point here in the United States. We have had riots, of course, in the past, especially in the 60s and the Watts riots. But I don't know if we'd get to that point now. But I can see what you're saying, Simon. It could go either way. I hope things get better in the country. I'm the eternal optimist. So, yeah. And my great spirit friends on the other side have told me repeatedly that we have a very bright and beautiful future ahead of us. And I guess that leads me to the next question that I received was about the problem, the caravan south of the border, the Mexican-U.S. border. You have all those people there who are trying to get across forcibly. What do you see with happening with that in the future?
Well, the Mexican government has now really started to make some effort to prevent these people coming across. Mm-hmm. They're now actually sort of policing it more effectively. And we now know that something like 8,000 American troops are on the border, although I think something like 5,000 of them will be brought back for Christmas. Not because it's Christmas, but because Trump believes that he will have secured a deal with the Mexican government so that they block up their end of the border. Then he can send the service people back to their families, or many of them back to their families for Christmas, which I understand he's very keen to do. Mm-hmm. Because he's very pro the veterans, and he's very pro the service. He doesn't want actually people missing out on Christmas. He's quite adamant on that. You probably haven't had that reported to you, but he is quite keen. Mm-hmm. I think as we begin to see some of the masks falling from some of these people's faces, I think the caravan will just literally go away. I literally think it will go away, because mm-hmm. if you promise somebody the earth and you take them up and then they're faced with a brick wall, they have to turn back and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what's going to happen, because the Mexican government does not want 8,000 American troops pushing into Mexico mm-hmm. because the Mexican government has failed to secure its borders. The Mexican government, who have a very difficult situation with Trump at the best of times, mm-hmm. It's not in their interests. So South American people coming in, provided they are legitimate, I don't think there's a problem. But we know full well that these people are not legitimate. Mm. And I personally, speaking personally, I don't understand how anybody could say, oh, you know, let them in, let them in. Right. If they're illegal, you know, there are people in America who let's just say there are people in America whose husbands have a job.
Mm-hmm.
May not be a good job, but they've got a job and they pay taxes,
mm-hmm.
and their wife might be in another place that's not America, mm-hmm. and they are having to fill in huge amounts of piece of paper, go to a city hall to do everything they need to get the wife over.
Right.
And that's how it's done, and that's how it's done in a democracy. You know, mm-hmm. you have to go in, you have to give all your details, you fill the paperwork in, you make an application. So why should lots of people who've never done any paperwork, never had an application form, have no right to live in America? Why should these people who say, oh, let them in? Why?
Right.
It's not about racism. It's about actually saying you either look after your own citizens mm-hmm. or you don't.
Right.
Because if you let the caravan in, then you might as well just take every border down on your airports and on your shipping lanes.
Right.
And you might as well say to the world, it's a free for all.
Right.
Come on in. Help
right.
yourself.
Right.
Now, you know, so we know it's politics that's being played. We know it's the people who hate Trump and Trump hates them, and it's the usual business. The reality of the situation is if somebody wants to start a new life in America, there is a process to do it.
That's true.
And
that's
my true. Advice is go legally down the process, and then you can be a very proud American citizen who's not working illegally, and you can actually love the stars and stripes, and you can put your hand over your heart and say, yes, I may be this, I may be that, but you know what, I'm an American first.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the point. Does America want Americans, or does it want Africans or Indians or British or Chinese? You should be American first and then whatever afterwards. And that, I understood, was always the glue that held your great country together. So this is obviously a method to try to break the glue apart, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of these, too, have been funded by George Soros, who's a general, of course, in the New World Order. And that's something else to ask, too, is I've gotten a question about the Pleiadians. Gentleman writes that they've arrived in many ships and are now stationed around planet Earth. Do you know why they're here?
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that's old news. And I don't mean that rudely at all. And mm-hmm. I really don't mean that rudely.
Mm-hmm.
They've been here a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can agree with the questioner that they are finally positioned. You see, when things arrive, they have to arrive to a predestined, like a geometric pattern. That's how the Pleiadians work it. And I understand that that pattern is complete. That doesn't mean they're going to be on the Earth tomorrow physically.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is that they're in a position to begin to take an embargo to the next stage. The exciting thing is that, as I predicted at least 6 months ago, there are fifth dimensional off-planet entities that have finally given up patience with certain groups on the Earth,
mm.
and are now beginning to put a very physical presence. So, you know, they're basically saying there are certain, we call them groups, they call it energy fields. There are certain energy fields on the planet which they've had enough of. And so they are now beginning to assert themselves. And that's what I mean over the next coming 6 months. It's going to be incredibly interesting on this planet. And we'll either, you know, be free. Literally, I mean, it sounds fantastic, but in 6 months' time, we're either going to be free, looking back on this time and thinking, well, that wasn't so bad, was it? Or we're going to be in quite a challenging, hot situation, much more challenging than we are at the moment. And I honestly don't know which way it will go. I haven't changed my mind. It's all going to come out good in the end. Mm-hmm. But consistently on your radio show, Ted, and on my own broadcast, I have said that it is going to be a very difficult journey. Mm-hmm. You know, and people who sit in an armchair and think, oh, well, look, you know, I'll get Archangel Michael to do this and we'll just leave this to Archangel Gabriel. No, we've all got to play our part, because the angels want people to actually own their freedom, you know, own it, take responsibility for it. And I think that what you're seeing in France are people who are beginning to say, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. You talked about America. You didn't really go down that road, but I will say this: there is a potential for a rising in America, unlike anything you guys have ever seen before. Mm-hmm. In other words, you've had race riots. Right. You've had young people at universities. You've had different communities, different areas, but you haven't had a rising against the system.
No.
Not, that's what you haven't had. And what you've got in France, but you're not being told, is you have a rising against the system. They can't say it's the blacks doing it, it's the Hispanics, it's the unemployed, the poor. They can't, because there are doctors in these demonstrations. There are poor people, rich people. This is the point. That's what a government doesn't want. It doesn't want the citizenry to unify itself. Mm-hmm. Now, in America, you're very, very divided, I'm afraid.
Right.
And there is a potential for sort of difficult situation. I'm hoping the opening of the indictments will take the sting out of a potential timeline ahead.
I hope so, too. And we all have to do our part. You know, we all have the spark of the Creator within us, And what President Kennedy told me last week on last week's radio show, he said that, you know, once people realize that we all have the spark of the Creator within us, we are, in fact, all one, regardless of our culture, our race, our creed, our religion. And once you realize that, when you harm others, you harm yourself. And once you realize that we are all one, then we can treat each other with kindness and service to others. Then we can truly lead to help building a much better planet. Because there's no need for the conflict. Absolutely no need for any kind of conflict.
You see, the thing is, Ted, that is, you're absolutely right. You are right. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that to have that understanding, a person has to be at a certain level. You have to be at a certain level of awareness to grasp that. But there are a lot of people who are not at that level of awareness. Mm-hmm. And for them, there is a natural reaction to use a physical violence or a physical force.
Sure.
Now, I know that the best way to turn around evil is to just project positive, loving energy, because evil cannot manipulate love. It can't work with it. It's like, you know, it's like throwing water on a fire. So we understand that, but there are absolutely countless millions and millions of people who don't understand that. And so it's about education on this planet. And, you know, we've battled many, many people, and I mean obviously you, Ted, and many others, to try to raise the, not the spiritual vibration, but just the concept of knowledge. But remember, we are fighting against a regime that has had thousands of years of manipulating the people of this earth and is very good at it.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're very good at it. But if you look back the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, humanity has evolved at the most wonderfully startling rate. In other words, we can talk about things now that we couldn't have done 10 years ago. So that's how fast, in a very short period of time in relation to the Earth, right. The development on this planet, the will and the need to break free,
yeah,
is much stronger now than it was even 5 years ago. So if that's how much we've moved in 5 or 10 years, give it another couple of years,
right,
and we'll... I think we'll be at what I call this escape velocity.
Simon, I'm so sorry, my friend. We've had so much fun, and now we've run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful and happy evening. Thanks again so much. Milky Way, he told us.